And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, be it to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, kind of an amazing scene. I don't suppose any of us here have seen an angel. How would you recognize an angel? What does an angel look like? Now, we've oftentimes seen figures with wings and so forth that obviously aren't just human. But when the angels appeared many times in the scripture, they appeared as men. Remember when there were several men that came to visit Abraham, and one was the Lord himself in a human form, and the others were angels, but they looked like men, just like ordinary men. And Abraham didn't realize at first who they were. But there was something about this person, probably looked like a man, but something about him that was very special. And it may have been kind of a heavenly glow about him, we don't know. But she recognized right away, this is an angelic messenger, not just an ordinary man. And of course she's really struck by it as he comes. What is this? There was fear. Is this a message of judgment from God? Is this going to be a message of blessing? What is it? Why has God sent to me this heavenly messenger? And so as the angel speaks to her, he tries to reassure her. He says, "Rejoice, highly favored, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And he tries to reassure her. This is a mission of blessing. I'm not here with a mission of judgment. This is a mission of blessing for you, and you are highly favored among women. And so he brings to her this reassuring message. Now you might say, how did Luke find out about this? Because as you begin the Gospel of Luke, and I want to go back and read a couple of verses here at the beginning of this chapter, Luke says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you in an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." So Luke here at the beginning says, I want you to realize these things are true. And he's writing to Theophilus and he says, I want you to be confident the things you've heard, the things you've believed are really true. And he says, I've searched these things out. I've tried to discover the things that happened. I'm setting them down in order. And we believe the Holy Spirit guided him so that the things that he wrote down are the message of God for us today. But he's emphasizing here how accurate the message is that he's going to be bringing to them. That this isn't just some mythology or something like this. These are things that really happened. And very probably he talked to Mary, because Luke spent about 2 years probably in Palestine while Paul was a prisoner in Caesarea waiting trial. And during that time, he no doubt talked to various ones, Christians, and very likely talked to Mary and heard her account, because these were things no one else would have known unless Mary told them. And so she remembers, and she goes back and I'm sure told Luke these different events that happened that were so very, very special. And Luke's the only one that mentions these things. And he was a very accurate historian. In fact, there was a man named William Ramsey, who was quite a scholar, who said Luke was the most accurate historian of the first century. And Luke says, I'm writing these things so you'll know that what you believed is really true. You'll have certainty in your conviction. And we need to have that. And so here, as Luke is writing this account, he's going over things, no doubt he's heard. This is what happened when Mary had this encounter with the angel. Now, as the angel comes to her, and I want to emphasize here Mary's faith as we go along. And the first thing here that happens is her faith is challenged. She was a woman of faith. She was highly favored. As you begin to read about her, we don't know anything about her mother. We don't know anything about her father, really. But she was apparently brought up in a devout Jewish home. They had the scriptures. They believed in the Lord. They were saved in the Old Testament sense. They didn't have, of course, the full gospel we have today because Christ hadn't come. But she grew up here, apparently, nourished with this teaching of the Word of God. And here she is, a young woman now, maybe in her late teens, maybe 18. We don't know the exact year. And she's engaged to this older man to be married. And that was quite customary. Oftentimes a man would be older. It still is often in certain cultures. The man is expected to have a job and to have a home, and then he's ready to marry. And so here she's engaged. She's not married yet. She's a young woman. She's a virgin. And the scripture emphasizes the fact she's a righteous person. She's a godly person. Her character is morally what it should be. A beautiful young woman. Now the angel comes to her with his message, and he says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to conceive. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So, an amazing message. Now she's confused. And she says, what are you talking about? I'm not even married yet. And I'm a virgin. I haven't messed around. I haven't had any sexual relationships with a man. I can't have a baby until I'm married and have a normal relationship. And so, in a sense, here's a challenge to her faith. Is she going to believe what the Lord is telling her through this angel? And so there's a challenge here to really her believing. And the angel reassures her. And he says, now look, Elizabeth, who is your relative, we don't know for sure what the relationship was. She may have been an aunt. She may have been a distant cousin. But we know she was older, old enough to be Mary's mother. And the angel says to her, you know, Elizabeth is barren. She's wanted to have children for years. Now she's come to the point in life where she no longer can have children. But I want you to know she's going to have a baby. She's going to have a baby. The angel had come earlier to Zacharias and told him, you know, you're going to have a son. And he was going to be the forerunner for this coming Messiah. So the angel says to her, you know, this, you would say, was impossible. She couldn't have a baby. She's going to have a baby. Because with God, nothing is impossible. So Mary here is confronted with this commission, you could say. She's being told, you're going to become pregnant and you're going to bear a child and he's going to be a king. And that was quite a challenge, really, to her faith. Did she believe this could really happen? Now, as the angel concludes, Mary says, behold, she says, the handmaid, the maidservant, or literally the slave girl of the Lord. I'm just the Lord's, I'm willing to do anything he says. And he agreed with the message of the angel and put herself in the hands of God. So it was kind of a challenge to her faith to believe, could it really happen? And then if she believed that it could happen, it was a challenge to her faith to say, do I want it to happen? What are the people going to say? Here I show up and I'm pregnant. I'm not married yet. The shame, the problems I'm going to have in the community, and what's going to happen to me? And what about my parents? What will my parents say? You think they're all going to believe that this is not just a case of immorality? I've been unfaithful to Joseph. So it was a test, really, of her faith, a challenge to her faith. But she, at the conclusion of when the angel was through speaking to her, she says, oh, I'm in the Lord's hands, I'm the Lord's slave girl, and he can do with me exactly what he wants. Wonderful spirit of submission to the Lord. So she's an example to us in her response here, and her willingness to do anything the Lord wants. I belong to the Lord. And this was a time of challenge to her faith. Now, as you go into the next section here, Mary leaves Nazareth at the time, and we're going to read on. And it says here in verse 39, now Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she comes to visit her older relative here. We don't know what contact she'd had before, but apparently she knew Elizabeth. Lived some distance away because Elizabeth and her husband lived down in Judah. Judea, which is south, of course, of Nazareth, up in Galilee. But there was their tour. Mary now is already pregnant. And she goes to be with her older relative here, who's only 6 months pregnant. And as she comes in, there's this amazing thing that happens. The Spirit of God, it says, comes upon Elizabeth, and she cries out, you know, in response to her greeting, and she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then she says, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And Elizabeth, although she's older, she's maybe 20 years older or better, and ordinarily, you know, the younger would show more respect to the older. Yet here, Elizabeth is overwhelmed with the fact, Mary has come to me and she's the mother of my Lord. And she realized that she was very special. She'd been chosen for this very special work of being the mother, she says, of my Lord. And so there's a recognition here. This baby is more than just human. This one is both God and man. And Elizabeth is just overwhelmed with what has happened. And the baby in a room leaped for joy, she said, when she heard the greeting. As Mary came in the door. An amazing thing here, and this was the confirmation of Mary's faith. Mary went to her, and when she came in the door, it was obvious Elizabeth is pregnant. It's what the angel said was true. It really is true. This woman, my relative, who is old, too old to have children, is pregnant. She's going to have a baby. It's the power of God. And I'm pregnant by the power of God. And she spent about 3 months there with Elizabeth. And it must have been a wonderful time for her. When women are pregnant, they have a special bonding, I think, an understanding between one another, being in this condition of about to have a child and the wonder of bringing another life into the world and all. And Elizabeth here is an older, godly woman, no doubt encouraged Mary, and they had a wonderful time together, 3 months or so. And then Mary went back home. But now, before she went, it said, Mary said, and we're going to read her what's called Mary's Song, which is an amazing prophecy here concerning the Lord. Verse 46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his to his seed forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Mary's Song. Now, as you read the song, you realize that, you know, we look down on those people oftentimes and think they were very ignorant. They didn't know too much. They didn't have the knowledge we have. But as you read Mary's song, you realize here's a woman, a young woman, has a very high concept of God and who loves the Lord and who is in awe of God. She was a young woman who knew God in an intimate way. And she says a number of things about God. And actually, this is a confession. This is her confessing her faith. Her faith has been confirmed and strengthened, and she's confessing her faith. And there's joy in God, her Savior. So Mary's very conscious of the fact, in spite of what some groups teach today, that Mary was sinless. She knew she was a sinner. She said, I need a Savior. And God is my Savior. And she rejoices in God, her Savior. And so there's this a very keen awareness, I'm a sinner, I need the salvation of God. God is a Savior God. And she, you read through the song, she's very humble. There's no pride. There's no spirit of rebellion or anything like that. There's just a spirit of real humility before the Lord. The Lord is great and He is wonderful. He's awesome. And He is a mighty God and He is holy. She's impressed here with the holiness, the greatness of God. And yet why then has He taken notice of me? Why has He chosen me? Why has He brought me into this wonderful position of being pregnant with this one who is to come, this one who is both God and man, this one who is going to be the Savior? And she's overwhelmed with a sense of her own humility. She doesn't deserve this. This is all of God's grace. And she's confessing to that. He has been so gracious to her. A great concept there of the greatness of God and of His being merciful, she says, to those who fear Him, to those who've come to know Him and love Him and fear Him. And so this, in her song, she's emphasizing the greatness of God, her own humility, and her own unworthiness. In a sense, you could say her own poverty. She was just a poor girl. But yet here, God has been so good to her. And God has just blessed her. And she's overwhelmed with the fact, God has chosen me. Here Elizabeth saying, you know, you're so blessed. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. You are so blessed. You're so privileged. And she's aware of this. She's just overwhelmed with the fact, God has chosen me. And just a poor girl from Nazareth, a poor home. And God has chosen me to be the mother of my Lord. And a tremendous realization here of her own unworthiness and of the grace of God. So you're impressed with that as you read this account here of her song, His mercy to those who fear Him. In fact, He's going to judge sinners. He's going to put down sinners and so those who reject Him and are indifferent to Him. But He's faithful. So faithful to His people. So that Mary's confessing her faith. And I'm thinking of how, you know, as we come to know the Lord, we should be those who confess Him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. With the heart man believes unto salvation, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now confessing doesn't save you, but it's the evidence you are saved, because out of the heart the mouth speaks. And so if I'm really saved, I'm going to want to tell other people I've accepted the Lord. I'm going to glory in the Lord. I'm going to be thankful to the Lord for what he's done for me. I'm going to have a sense of unworthiness. I don't deserve this, but God has saved me, and how blessed I am, how merciful he is, how gracious he is. And Mary here in her song is expressing that. This is her confession of faith, of her belief, of her trusting the Lord, of her rejoicing of the Lord, of her being overwhelmed with God's grace and his mercy toward her. She doesn't deserve this, and she's very keenly aware of it. God has chosen and blessed her soul. Now, if you're saved, is this your attitude? Is it my attitude? As I think of the fact I've been saved, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. God, in wonderful grace and mercy, sent the Lord Jesus to die for me and saved me. He could have just left me alone. He could have just let me go to hell. He could have turned his back on me. But God, in his mercy and grace, has reached out to me and saved me. There should be this attitude. And if we're really saved, we should be telling others. We should be sharing our faith. We should be rejoicing in the Lord. We should be so thankful that we are saved. I think back to the time when I accepted the Lord, and I'm kind of amazed in a way that I was saved. I could have just gone on in church like so many do. I was baptized, I was a church member, I could have had the attitude, I don't need this, I don't know what they're talking about, be saved and so forth. I'm a church member, I'm baptized, I'm a Christian. But yet the Lord sent someone to talk to me, give me the gospel in our home. It wasn't in a church building, and I was there just as a young man. My heart was moved and touched, and I accepted the Lord. Now, and I can remember telling my father. My father was very unhappy. But I had to tell him, I know the Lord now. I am forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Well, he says, you've always been a Christian. You were baptized. You're a church member. You don't need that stuff. What is it, a cult or something? What are you getting into? You need to watch out for that sort of thing. But I knew I'd accepted the Lord. I knew I was forgiven. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Mary here is confessing her faith and confessing her joy in the Lord and rejoicing in all the Lord has done for her. Is that our attitude? This Christmas season, I hope you can say, I'm so grateful I'm saved. I'm so thankful. I'm so unworthy. But God, in wonderful grace, gave the Lord Jesus for me. Thanks be unto God, Scripture says, for his indescribable gift. No gift like the gift God has given to us, the Lord Jesus. So I hope as we are here in this season of the year, that we have the same faith Mary has. And I will be willing to express that faith, confess it, as she was. She wasn't ashamed of the Lord. She was rejoicing in the Lord and in what he'd done for her.